Phil, remind me to turn that one on, too. Thank you. Thank you. Revelation chapter 9 this morning. We'll start with verse 1. Father, we just bless you this morning that you have placed your spirit within us. And Father, we are part of that remnant that you have chosen. Father, we're not volunteers, but Father, we've been drafted by the Spirit of God. You have come and chosen us, and God, we don't even know why. All I know is you said you've chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and I guess we're just some of those foolish things. And Father, we can accept that. That's not a problem. We love you unconditionally. We thank you for all the things that you do in our life, but Father, for the love and the grace and the mercy that you've extended to us. We cannot but give that to everyone else. Father, help us to continually extend the grace and mercy and love you've shown to us back to the rest of creation. Father, this morning we lift up the ones that's not here. Father, there's some not here because of different reasons, illnesses. Father, this morning, Linda has problems in her legs, the swelling in her feet. And Father, we address that. And Father, by the Spirit, we send your love and grace and mercy into that home. Father, we take condemnation and we bind it by the Spirit of love and mercy and grace. And Father, we release the Spirit of joy in that house. Oh, Lord. Father, today my heart is heavy for the Lawhoon house. Father, you know Rick and Teresa's plights. You've set their course. And Father, we want to stand with them and encourage them, to strengthen them, and to release the joy of healing within that house. Oh, Father, they're struggling so hard. They love you. And Father, they don't understand some of the tests in their life. And we know, Father, that it's not your way to explain everything ahead of time. But Father, we just ask that they understand that you love them unconditionally. You love them in spite of the things that they have done in their lives like the rest of us. Father, you love them in spite of what religion would tell them they're in some kind of a terrible sin because of disease or sickness in their house. Father, we release them from those bondages right now by the Spirit of love and your grace and your mercy. Father, let them know in their spirit that we are with them and we stand with them and we lift them up and we encourage them through all they walk through. And Father, we extend your love, your grace and mercy to all of God's children. Father, we do not make distinction. We extend that to all of them through your Spirit. Amen. Back on. Didn't think anybody want to listen to me blow my nose. Oh, thank you, Father. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts unto the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. On the heads and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there cometh two more woes hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpets, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols and of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And man, is there a mouthful in this one. And if you want to believe what religion has taught for years, that this is the doom of man, I can't help that. But I'm going to show you God's truth in it. It's about God dealing with us in our lives. And it's beautiful. Back to the first verse. And the fifth angel sounded. Now, what's this number five mean? Fifth. It's either life or death. Here's an angel, not of death. God's not trying to kill us. This is the angel of grace. He's giving us grace to overcome every circumstance that comes in our life. Hello? That's what these seven messengers are about. Each one's bringing a peace into our life. And this angel's bringing grace. Everybody thinks it's bad, but this is grace. And the fifth angel sounded. What did it sound? It said they were carrying trumpets, didn't they? So she spoke through this trumpet. Well, what's a trumpet represent? Okay, so this angel of grace came and spoke the Word of God. Hello. God's speaking that in our lives, and He's been speaking since the very first century. He's been speaking this Word of grace in our life. This is not something that ever 500 years or 1,000 years another angel has been loosed. Every bit of this was as real in the first century as it is today. This angel of grace, called the Christ, has been speaking on the earth since the very first century. Isn't that true? This is going on as simultaneous in our lives as it was in their life right back then. It's still going on today. Everything is going on right on through. See? As long as we look at this timeline that the churches want to put in our mind and say, well, God can't work until this time because we think that's where He's at. God has been working since the very beginning. He's never changed anything, has He? He has constantly been working. And I can tell already, it's going to be tough to get through this thing today. And the fifth angel sounded this word of God, this word of grace, and I saw a star fall from heaven. If you think this was that comet they was waiting on, you missed it. This star is Jesus, the Christ. It was his crucifixion. And through his crucifixion, what were you given? Grace. Grace. You're saved by what?
Grace.
Come on. We've got to open our minds up and see the truth that God's telling us in his word so we can be free. Didn't we talk this morning about being free in God? Well, we can't have this carnality thinking and still think I can walk in peace with God. I've got to open my mind up and see it all. James said a double-minded man is what?
Unstable.
Unstable in all his ways. See, I've got to forget about that stuff that they're telling me. Paul said it this way, the things you see are temporary. The things you don't see are eternal. We've got to forget about this stuff we see and touch. The things that come in our life, those are not important. They will pass away. We're going through troubles, right, Larry? They will what? Pass away. The eternal thing is the truth that he's going to bring into your lives. That's the things we need to focus on. We don't need to worry about the things, because that stuff's just going to pass away. It's just stuff. All the things, Richard, all the things that's been in your life, things that's trouble with John and stuff like that, that's just stuff, isn't it? And it will pass away. The thing of it is, it's going to change your life, isn't it? All this stuff is gone. It's changed it, but it's going to continue to change it. See, as long as we look at this stuff as some futuristic thing that's going to happen once we die, then what are we living for? Come on. This is when I live. I got to have this stuff in my life now. You got to have it now. I don't live 2,000 years from now. Do you? I'm not living tomorrow, because tomorrow will never come. Because at midnight tonight, it becomes today. See, tomorrow is elusive. I ain't going to tell that joke either. I ain't going there today. I saw a star fall from heaven. We saw the Christ come from the spirit realm, heaven, unto the earth, the death realm. And see, it didn't say he just came unto, it came into. See, he didn't just come to this earth and walk upon this earth. He came into this earth, which you are. When he died on that cross, why did he die? That we may dwell with him and in him and be one with him and the Father. Right? We're supposed to be one with the Father. Not playing this game that he's sitting over there and someday we'll get to go over and bow down before him. God dwells within us right now. We've got to get out of this futuristic thinking about the Scriptures. And he said he was put into the earth, and to him was given the what? The key. What is a key? It locks and unlocks things, doesn't it? Why don't you look at it in another way? A key is power and authority. Richard, you used to have a whole bunch of keys. Well, you probably still got a bunch of them. But doesn't it give you the power over that thing that the key controls? Isn't that key control? If you don't open the door or close it, if I have the only key to this door to this building and I don't open it, I have control and authority, don't I? Right? So the key is power and authority. That's what a key is. It's authority. You can't start your car without the key, can you? Okay? You have power and authority of that car to start it. So the person with the key has power and authority. And unless I'm sadly mistaken, Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power and authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Okay, there's his power and authority. There's his keys. See, he ain't running around with a bunch of big keys on a chain shaking them like the pictures they show you. He's talking about having power and authority over the bottomless pit, which we are. Hello. Our thinking is the bottomless pit. Out of it ascends all the evils and fornications and all the bad things that come out. It comes out of our bottomless pit. But see, he has power and authority over that. And he's in our earth. Is that true? So he's in the earth, and he's in here, and he's got the key. Notice the key wasn't put in our hands. The power and authority is put in the hand of Christ. And he opened the bottomless pit. See, there wasn't no fear there about opening that bottomless pit like that Pandora's box they always talk about. He had power and authority over that box. He had the key to it. And you want me to tell you what the key is? Does anybody know what the key is? That's what it is. He loves you. That's the power and authority. The only thing that'll bring a man as big as a mountain down to be like a lamb is God loving him. See? That's the key over that bottomless pit. That's exactly right. See, love is the only thing that'll open that thing up. That's the power and authority that God has over that bottomless pit. No matter how much we think about different things, God has the power and authority. He said His word cannot be disannulled. His will be accomplished in the earth. It's not our will. We just agree with Him and then we're in good place. And it said He opened the bottomless pit and there arose a smoke. Right? What do you think that smoke is? Huh? Well, no, it's just humanity. It's a thinking place of humanity. See, the smoke is that ignorance, okay, that mankind has in their mind. It was those cherubim that were placed in there to keep us from coming back, those imaginations, those imaginary creatures that God placed in our mind.
He repeats that twice.
Uh-huh. Witness. He's telling you it's important to pay attention to it. Okay? Well, there's no end to the things that come out of this bottomless pit, which is right up here in our thinking process. That's what it is. See, there's no end to the things that come out of this thing. See? You just got in trouble. Yeah, that was the smoke getting out. Okay? There it is. There it is. That's a good way to put it. And there arose a smoke out of this pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So literally, what's he saying? The mind of humanity polluted the air and put a screen between you and the sun. Was that S-O-N or S-U-N? Yeah. Yeah, both of them. See? And this is just a figure. This is symbolic language. He's trying to show you that the mind of humanity is the only thing that was put between us and Him. And He showed you another analogy of that in the Gospels when He said the day He was crucified, there was a great earthquake. Same thing He's talking about in Revelation. And what happened in that great earthquake? The veil was rent from what? Top to the bottom. He started right up on top. He opened your mind up. See? And let all that darkness out. Well, until you let the darkness out, there's no room for the light to get in, is there? So He had to dump it out first so He can fill us up with Him. Oh, God. Oh, my God. And there came out of the smoke. Now, again, smoke is a covering and a darkening, right? And that speaks of the ignorance of humanity, the ignorance of the mind of humanity. I mean, humanity has the ability of doing so many things, abilities to make all kinds of things, computers and put people on the moon and laser discs for our CD players, things that my mind can't even begin to comprehend. I can go all the way back to a gasoline engine. I still haven't figured out how they can make this thing run 6,000 RPMs for 200,000 miles metal on metal. Still work. But you know what? I don't labor it. I don't care. That's what God set up for them. And thank God they did. See, they're occupied with making it and I get the benefit out of it. See, I'm not going to labor that. I don't know how a computer works. I push a button, it comes on. It works. It's all that matters. See, I don't have to know all those workings. I got better things to put in my mind than how to fix a computer. There's too many people that know how to do it. I'll utilize that gift that God gave that person, and if they're satisfied with just a gift, then fine. But I want more than the gift. I want Him. See, I'm not satisfied with just knowing how to do things. I want to know Him. If I got Him, then I lack nothing. Right? See, so our goal is not the gifts and the things that people have. It's what God is, His substance. And that's that love we've been talking about. And there came out of the ignorance of man locusts upon the earth. Now this word locust, you know, we think about them bugs that fly around, make that weird noise every so many years, and they come around and eat up everything every so many years, you know. 7 years or 18 years or whatever it is, don't make any difference. But anyway, that's not the locust we're talking about. Literally, in the language, you could kind of allude to that, because it says, when you say the word locust, if you go to the language, it means to light on the top of. To light on the top of, like a bug flies up and lights on top of something. Okay? So those locusts do come in and they sit on the top, don't they? Well, we're talking about spiritual things here, aren't we? So when this spiritual thing comes in and sits on top of something, where do you think it's going to sit? Right there. It's going to sit right up there. See? And what's it going to do? Destroy. It's going to begin to destroy what God has placed in there. And if we let that bug set up there, guess what? It's going to eat away. We need to do some exterminating, don't we? Okay. But this locust came out of the smoke, and what is the next word? Out of the smoke, there came out of the smoke locust what? That word upon is ice. It's not upon. Ice. E-I-S. Not I-C-E. It's just pronounced. This is a Greek word. And the word ice means into. So where'd the locust go? Into. Hello. Into. Deuteronomy 7 said there's seven nations mightier than you. What do we think we got to overcome? Those ites that he put in the land. Right? So these ites have to be dealt with. But anyway, let's go back to where he's at. He said, unto them was given power, as the scorpion of the earth has power. Now, he didn't say they were scorpions running around with big stingers in their tail. Okay? He said they were as scorpions. This is a spiritual thing. This is demonic influence in our life. Seven spirits that's been placed within us. Okay? Not literal seven. It's a spiritual number. But whatever God deems necessary for my life or your life is what God places in your life to bring you to the maturity. It's not just a literal number of seven. Some of them, I think the man Legion, they said, had thousands, see? But someone else might have one. We don't know. That's all up to God. That's his doings. And the book says his doings are marvelous, and we can't understand them all. So that, I think they're just marvelous. They're just marvelous. Now, the scorpion has power in his tail to do what? Sting. It can literally kill you. Enough of them hit you, they can kill you. Okay? So this demonic influence in our life, if we let those things get in our mind and start working, what will it do to us? And we all have experience of meeting people that way, that have had these things get in them, and because they didn't do their extermination by the Spirit of God and by His Word, they literally went out there and died. Physically, some of them, and a lot of them spiritually. Now, the tail. A tail is a very important thing in this symbolism. These tails had the power to sting someone and to kill someone. Okay? If you go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15, it says, the ancient and the honorable, he is the head. Talking about the Satan, the mind. Okay? And he says, but the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. So what do you think we're talking about here? It's deception, the false prophets, these tails of these scorpions. It's talking about people speaking. It don't necessarily have to be preachers. You wouldn't believe how the world preaches the Word of God erroneously. And I do emphasize erroneously. They preach something, they have no clue. And they come up with carnal understandings, and they tell people all kinds of things about the Scripture, and they got people scared to death. We had a couple came here one time, and they had just left another church, and they didn't stay for too long. But their daughter came in, and she just went to this big play that a church was putting on about hell. And she was having nightmares you wouldn't believe. Now, if that was a godly thing, why did that kid come up with nightmares about hell? And you think she was the only one? Come on. See, they got this hell thing all blowed out of proportion and had devils running around scaring kids plumb to death. Is that God? God loves us. He's not trying to do that stuff. But see, they're preaching this stuff. They have no idea. And out of their carnal understanding and their lack of relationship with their Father, see, if I know my Father and I know my Father loves me, is He going to hurt me? Well, see, They had the carnal understanding of a carnal or fleshly father who did hurt them. So they can have the ability to say, well, if my father did it, he probably would do it too. I'm talking about what this carnal thing up here tells you. See, it'll go anywhere. It's the bottomless pit. It can bring any kind of a conception out about God. Our book says God is love. Is that correct? Well, then how could he do all these bad things? See, we've got to get out of all this thinking process that is not of God. If we're in the kingdom, we should be talking kingdom language. Would that make sense? If I was going to Italy, I'd have to speak Italian, wouldn't I? If I was going to Russia, I'd have to speak Russian to get around. But so if I'm in the kingdom of God, why do I keep talking earthly, worldly foolishness? Why don't I just talk the kingdom? Does that make sense? It does to me. Yeah, get them bugs off your head. Huh? Yes, it's a tail, all right. Absolutely, it's a tail. T-A-L-E. Absolutely. Verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Grass. You can go into 1 Peter 1 and 24, and you can go to Isaiah 40, verse 6 and 8, and it says, all flesh is what? Grass. So he says, he told these things. Now, you can't hurt the grass of the earth. You can't hurt nobody. He limited their power, didn't he? Anybody talking this foolishness about some devil having all this power and control, what did he say right here? He told them they can't even hurt the flesh. Oh, my. The flesh of the earth, neither any green thing. Green speaks of living. Said you can't even hurt any living thing. Now, who's in control? If God's not in control, boy, I've missed something bad. Neither any tree. What is a tree? It's people. It's humanity. Wood is humanity. It's a living humanity. But only those what? Men. Only that humanity that has what? Not the seal of God in their foreheads or upon their forehead. See, so if they don't have the seal of God in their forehead, what would that be? What's the seal of God in your forehead? You said it. Say it out loud. Mind of Christ, absolutely. Don't be bashful. Say it. They got the seal of the living God in their head. They got the mind of Christ. So how can you make a mistake? When you stand with the mind of Christ, people think you're arrogant, you're obnoxious. Well, I'm going to tell you what. When Jesus preached, they said this about him. When did we ever hear one speak with such boldness? Said, he don't speak like the scribes and Pharisees. I thank God I don't speak like scribes and Pharisees. I don't talk like them, do I? Ain't nobody ever accused me of that.
I don't know what they are, but no.
I'm going to talk with the boldness that the Spirit of God has placed within me. I don't care what people think. I care about what my Father has said to me, and He sent me to say. And I will say what He sent me to say, and let it go at that.
How can you preach unless you've been sent?
That's a fact. That's what Romans says.
Come out of school 17, 18 years old and jump in there and start preaching the Word.
They can't even do it at 40 years old. Oh, my God. If they're not called. And the book says, how can they hear in Romans? How can they hear except they have a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? See? And I think we know where that sent comes from. Okay. He said, but only those men which have not the seal of the living God. So anybody without that seal of the living God, the mind of Christ, guess what the locust is going to do to you? We're going to hear all this stuff out here, all this false stuff, and we're going to bite on it and chew on it and swallow it up and let it get in us and confuse us and deceive us. See? But if we have this mind of Christ, the seal of the living God in our foreheads, guess what? That stuff comes in, you take a big bite and go, that ain't right. Your spirit will say, I ain't eating that stuff. See? You will know. You say, well, I don't even know the Scripture. You don't got to know the Scripture like I do. All you've got to know is God loves you and He ain't going to hurt you. He said He will write in your heart and He'll call all things to remembrance, whatever He said to you. And He spoke to you before the foundation. He laid it all out ahead of time. It's in there whether you know it or not right now. You just don't remember what you know. Another way you could say it is you don't know what you know. That's right. You don't. But it's coming. See, it's coming because He's going to reveal it. He didn't say, you had to remember it. He said, I'm going to call it to your remembrance. Right? So So just hang on and let God be God. He said, unto them was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented for 5 months. See, there's the negative side of it. We got a positive side, the grace, and then we got a negative side. They're going to be tormented for 5 months. Now, that's not the good thing. See, he's not talking about the good guys here, is he? He's talking about ones without the seal of God in their forehead. They're going to be tormented. And this five can mean life or death. And see, they're being tormented. There's death spiritually in there. They're dying. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, which means to pierce, when he strikes a man or a man-faced person. When he says strikes a man, the word is anthropos, which means man-faced or humanity. So if I don't have the seal of the living God, guess what I am? I'm man-faced. See? I'm man-faced. And that scorpion means to pierce. Kind of like him hanging on a tree, and they did what to him? Pierced him. But see, they're dying on the negative side. They're not going on the positive. And in those days shall humanity, or the man-faced people, seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I had a woman sit in here Monday evening, and she said, I just want it to go away. I would just as soon die as live like this. And I said, well, the answer is God and His love. And she said, I don't want to hear about God. I said, I can't give you nothing, but God's all God. I can't give you worldly thinking. I don't have worldly thinking. I have God. That's all I can do is give you God. She said, well, this conversation is over. Well, she's just right in the right place. She's right at the wit's end. She's the end of her rope. And then before she left, she said, well, I don't know if I'm ready to come yet or not. And I said, well, when you're ready, we're here. We love you. The door's open. See? The only reason someone cries out like that is because they're at the end of the rope. And you know what? Someday God will touch it. See, it's when it's His time. I'm not going out hunting her down. It's not my place. God has to take you to the end of your rope. I didn't chase Phil down, did I? Phil called me when it was time. We've been friends for years, but Phil called me when it was time. Absolutely. Okay. That's right. But when it's time, God will come. And it said, in the shape or the form of the locusts, or the mind destroyers, were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Now, when we talk about horses in the Bible, we're talking about strong warriors fighting and everything. See? God said, Jesus said this, my disciples are not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world, or else my disciples would fight. We're talking about humanistic strength here. We're talking about humanistic views of you can overcome. Like the church is preaching. You don't need anything but yourself. You've got it all within you. And see, there's a truth hidden in there. But they're drawing out the wrong side. I'm drawing off the God in me. And that's what we're supposed to do. They're saying, you're your own man. You're God. No, you're not God. You're God's sons. See? We're not God, are we? We're God's sons. But they were likened to, and it didn't say they were horses, they were similar or likened to horses. And that's flesh, humanity, prepared unto battle. See? Well, my book says in 1 Samuel 7:14 and 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, the battle belongs to the
Lord.
Hello. Then why are we doing it? See, that's humanity doing everything in their own strength. Just like Ford has this commercial. Ford had a better idea. Well, that's what humanity does. We got a better idea. God says, trust me, and it'll be okay. And what happens? Well, that's the last place they go. When everything else is just falling on their faces, then they'll go to God. As children of God, where should be the first place that we should go for help? Take this little baby right here. Where should she go for her first problem? Where should she go? Huh? Baby. Well, there's two babies. For one of these babies, though, where should they go? Where should they have the understanding as soon as their first hurt or problem comes? Who are they going to run to? Their mom and dad. See? And we don't do that as children of God. We run to worldly situations. We run to counselors in the world. We run to psychologists, psychiatrists, anybody out there. And the very best thing for us is right here with us, right in us. Just turn ourselves within and see the Christ within you. There's the answer. And see, even those little babies know the first thing, they run to mom and dad, don't they? Daddy, daddy, finger, ooh, boo-boo, ooh, look. See? They don't even hesitate about it. And yet we, as intelligent, adult, mature people, don't trust our Father. That's right. We think too much, see? That intelligence. He chose the foolish things to confound the wise. And our wise is what's confused, I guarantee you. And it says, on their heads were, as it were, crowns like unto gold. Now, gold speaks of the nature of God, but it didn't say it was gold. It was similar to gold. See? And that's religion. Religion puts it on your mind that you're okay. I've seen that book, I'm okay, you're okay. Well, then tell me why he hung on a tree. Okay? Answer that one. If you're okay and I'm okay, then why did he put his son through all that pain and suffering, nail him to a tree after he was beaten beyond recognition? You tell me, why did he do it if I'm okay in my natural state? Am I okay in my natural state? Well, no. Heavens, no, we're not. And their faces were as the faces of what? Well, notice, they had the mind as it were gold, as it was the mind of gold, the crown on their head, but their faces were faces of what?
Humanity.
Humanity. Natural, carnal thinking. Oh, my God. Not about what's going on in the world. Is that what it's about?
No.
What it's all about is about what's going on in my heart, in the kingdom. Isn't that what it's all about? What is God doing in His kingdom in me? Right? Each one of us should be able to say that. What's God doing in my kingdom? Keith, what's He doing in your kingdom? See? Lots of things going on. See? That's the thing that you're concerned with. I'm not concerned about the price of gasoline. I'm not concerned about that stuff. We got to pay it. We don't set those prices. And me arguing and fussing with people isn't going to do anything. Me complaining about it will do nothing. All I have to do is pay for it when I get it. And my sufficiency is not in somebody else. It's in Christ. He will provide everything we need. Why do you think at the time of the land, in the land of Goshen, when the Jews were all in captivity for all those 400 years in servitude and bondage, in Goshen, when the plagues came, there was 10 plagues, and none of them hit Goshen? That's the same as being in the ark, the covenant of God, being in Christ. The world can go through all that hell, and we can walk right through it. Did it mean none of us will get on us? No, if they walked outside of Goshen, guess what they got? The plagues. But still, it didn't kill them. See? Moses went right out there in them, didn't he? Aaron went right with him. They went right there, but they didn't get them. They didn't destroy them. Whew, there's a whole bunch in this book. Oh, my. And they had hair as the hair of women. Hello. What are we talking about? Well, their covering was a woman's covering. What are we talking about now? We got two things we can see. Church and soulish. See? It was a soulish covering from the church. See? He's saying all this stuff is going on in that religious realm out there. Not in the kingdom of God. This is a religious realm. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of what? Literally, the words were, literally, are as the teeth of lions. Are like teeth of lions. So they have a covering of the church. That's the woman, right? The hair is a covering. So they have the covering as a church, but what do they talk like?
See?
Jesus is the Lamb. See? They ain't talking to you like a lamb, are they? They got the covering of the church, and they bite and chew and tear at you. Anybody ever experience that? If you say no, I'll have to cast that lying devil out. Okay? So we have to realize that this and they had breastplates what? As they were breastplates of iron. Iron speaks of stubborn, hard, inflexible. And you know what that is? That's a defense.
An iron will.
That's right. Stiff-necked. Iron, stubbornness. Thank you for that confession, brother.
Yeah.
All those things are all part of it. See? And we will not let the Christ penetrate the breastplate. What does the breastplate cover?
Your heart.
Oh, my goodness. Your heart.
Don't reveal that.
We ain't going to let God get into this heart, whatever I got to do. I don't care how bad I hurt. Right, Phil?
Right.
One time that was true, wasn't it? See?
Yeah,
see? We can get our hearts to be hard. We can protect them with that iron, stubborn will that we have. And this is what religion will teach you. It will teach you to hide your problems instead of getting them out. Leave the splinter in your hand and let it poison and fester up and kill you. Don't get it out. See, that's what church will teach you. Don't come in and expose yourself. Someone might talk about you. Well, if they talk about you, it's their problem. They got the wagging tongue. It's not your problem if they talk about you. Your problem is dealing with you. Don't worry about everybody else. God will take care of the rest of it. Okay, where am I at? I'm going to get wound here in a minute. And the sound of their wings, right? The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Now, their actions, their motions, their wings, their motivation. This is action thing here. They're moving. All the things going on, all the stirring going around. What is it about? It sounds as the sound of horses running to battle. I just told you. The battle is what? It's the Lord's. See, the religious realm, the first and second realms, Mount Ophel, Mount Moriah, the dust and sand covering. All they are, they're always in a fury. They're always in a tizzy. They're running to and fro. Everything's stirred up. There's dust flying everywhere. Isn't there? And you know what? They don't even know what they're doing. They're caught in a dust storm and they don't even know it. They can't see in them dust storms. I've been in a few of them out in the desert. I mean, you can't see. And that's where the church is. They're caught up in this dust storm. And if they come on up to Mount Zion, guess what? You're above the storm. Go up high enough on the mountains and you can see them big clouds of dust underneath you, and it's like you're in a different world. It's like flying an airplane. You go above the storms, like going on right here now. You go up above it. See? You don't even have to worry about it. If you ascend up into the heavenlies, Isaiah said it this way. There's a place, there's a highway, literally a higher way, where the lions can't walk and the vultures can't even fly there. Hey, you can get above all this worldly stuff. You don't have to worry about that because it's the Spirit of God. You don't have to worry about the carnality of humanity. And you don't have to worry about all the stuff that they're putting in your heads about doing the battle and doing all this spiritual warfare. It's done. Jesus said it's finished. And I believe it. Every bit of it. It's finished. He said, pray that the kingdom come. As what is done in heaven will be done in earth. See? It's already done. Just let it come on. Let the kingdom come. And they had tails likened to scorpions, right? This is the prophet, the false prophets, the tails. They were similar to scorpions. That means they have the ability to sting and to kill humanity. And these false prophets that run around telling all this stuff, threatening and intimidating God's children, guess what? They're trying to bring death to them. But they're not going to work because they can't touch the third that he has chosen. They'll have no hurt upon them. Okay? They had their tails were like the scorpions, and their stings, or literally their poison in their tails, and their power was to hurt men or humanity 5 months, or literally unto death. And they had a king over them, which is the what? Or the messenger of the bottomless pit. Well, everybody can say, oh, that's the devil. Well, the messenger of the bottomless pit is you. See, you listen to yourself. He's the one that talks to you. Isn't he? Don't your mind talk to you every day? We'll have to get that one. That's the messenger of the bottomless pit. It's your own human thinking, your own carnal understanding. And when you realize that, guess what? You can identify it. Once you identify him, now you can separate that voice from the other voice you hear, which is the voice of Christ speaking within you. Now we got things coming our way, don't we? We no longer hear this voice and don't know who it is. My sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow the voice of a stranger. That stranger is your own thinking. Huh? There you go. Got to sooner or later. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. What does it mean? The destroyer. The angel of destruction. That's what the word Abaddon means. The messenger of destruction. What is the messenger of destruction? My thinking. And in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon, which means the destroyer. The angel of destruction or the destroyer. Guess what? Guess what that is? That's me. That's myself. See? The only thing that will mess my life up, if I point outside of my own self to anyone in humanity as being my problem, I got a big problem. I am deceived. The only one that can destroy my life is me. Nobody out there can mess your life up. You have to let them get to you. You have to give them the keys, the power and authority to mess your life up. And when you find out you have the keys and the power over this carnal thinking, this death that comes to us,